time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How we doing?
Well, pretty good till I got up and looked outside, and I think we had a pretty decent frost last night.
Yeah.
I knew there was a frost advisory out, but my handy-dandy phone only showed like 35, but my truck this morning told me it was 32, so...
Your truck's a liar. It was 50.
Well, there was frost on the windshield of my truck because it set out last night, so I don't think it was lying to me because it wasn't thick. I didn't have to scrape. I could get it off with a little bit of window washing fluid and a few wipes with the windshield wipers, but it definitely was a frosty night. So, boy, I hope... The early birders that were out there and got stuff planted early, you know, again, we were right at 32 degrees last night. Not a heavy frost, but certainly, you know, it frosted last night for sure. And then I think this evening is another chance of, I'm looking, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be in the mid-30s tonight as well. So there's a slight chance this evening. And then after that, the weather looks pretty good. Temperatures in the 60s and 70s for highs and 40s and 50s at night. So again, like we talked about the last couple of weeks, our frost-free date for this part of Ohio is supposed to be May 15th. So we're a couple of weeks out from that. But again, be careful with what you're planting. I know we had Nikki had done a lot of work at home, but everything that she had done at home was all in containers. And so she carried all the containers in last night because I was tired.
And because she didn't work at all yesterday.
Oh, no.
she was busy yesterday. Yeah. Well, I got there early yesterday morning, and they were scurrying around kicking over an anthill.
Yeah, it's our spring open house weekend out at Nature's Green, and excited obviously for spring, and so happy to see all the customers in yesterday. We were very busy from the very beginning of the day at 7:30 until the very end of the day at 5:30. We still had people out there, so you know, just can't thank people enough for coming out and shopping. Kudos to Nikki and Carla and Karen and Jossie and Carly, who have been diligently taking care of the greenhouses since basically like we usually get started around the middle of January. Towards the end of January, we'll start getting plugs and seeds and things in. And they tend to them. Nikki does an unbelievable job. Very, very meticulous about the way things have to look. And she hand prunes and takes care of the plants and cuts them back and grows them. You know, they're very unbelievably healthy and look great. And it's all because of her, because I will help water occasionally, but I'm usually busy doing other stuff. So I think
they probably would rather you just stay out and let them take care of it.
Well, it's funny. On Saturdays and Sundays, it's always like, hey, Steve, you need to go water house 3, or hey, Steve, you need to go water house 2.
You're weekend help.
I'm weekend help. So it's like, hey, I really don't want to go in and water, but 4 and 5 needs water today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, awesome. So I'll get up and go out and water, because it is pretty cool. It's pretty peaceful, especially early mornings. And the color is spectacular. And again, if you haven't been out Please stop out. We've got some good deals going on. We've got a lot of really cool looking plants, a lot of new varieties this year. And again, Nikki and Carly have just done an unbelievable job. The health and the quality of the plants is, you know, some years go really, really smoothly, and some years you struggle with temperatures and you struggle with bugs or disease. There's always something that you're struggling with. And this year's been pretty smooth for the most part, and the plants show they're just really happy and healthy. So stop out, shop around.
Yeah, so 7 to 5 yesterday. What is it today?
Today is 9 to 4.
9 to 4.
And then tomorrow's 11 to 3.
11 to 3.
So, okay. And we are open now 7 days a week. We'll be open 7 days a week till June. I'm not sure what the date is, but we will be open 7 days a week now.
Sometimes when you get out in there, you just play it by ear.
Yeah.
What do we have left? And
we'll be open 6 days a week. I mean, we're always open on Saturday, or nearly always open on Saturdays in the busy time. But usually the middle of June, towards the end of June, we'll cut back and not do Sundays. But yeah, stop out. We've got everything. If you're thinking about doing some, mulching, we've got mulches and soils and just about anything you could imagine. Plus, again, all the flowers look just spectacular. So
and again, you have some door prizes.
Oh yeah, the girls. They went over my head on this one, but if you come out and purchase something, you can sign up to win an outdoor patio set, which is.
If you spend $200 or $300 or something.
You know more than I do.
Yeah, and if it's.
I'm on a need to know basis.
Yeah,
I guess.
If it's 100 to 200, it's something else, and then I think I'm signed up in the. And the 100 and less for something, but it's not a patio set. I think you ought to. Hey, can I count last year's landscaping in the?
Oh, I never thought about that. I'll
can,
sign
can
your
you
name.
Can you do it retroactively for I'll, the, for, I'll, for I'll the
sign
patio
you,
set?
I'll sign you up for that. I'll get your name in there one way or another.
And when they pull that out and pull my name out, they're going to look at that and say, he only spent $86.
I can throw it away. I can forge something for you, dude. Don't worry about it. I got you covered.
You can say I bought $150 worth of something or other this morning.
That's right.
Well, if you're getting the wave petunias for me, that could. We don't have those. We didn't.
Oh, that's going to take you over the top.
Yeah,
that's going to take you. Oh, you're in. I'm going to sign you up as soon as I get there. That's right. We got the wave petunias going out in front of the radio station. So
yep, that should be good.
Absolutely. So again, if you're out shopping, I mean, right now is a really outstanding time to make your purchases and to shop. If you're buying stuff today, again, make sure you keep it in the trays, flats, the hanging baskets, and everything. Bring them indoors. Tonight for sure. Next week, like I said, forecast looks mild. There is one day, I think Wednesday night or Thursday night, they're calling for a low of 39, which shouldn't be an issue with anything. 39 is not a problem. Even your most tender plants are going to tolerate 39 degrees. So, but again, if you want to be super particular, you can bring them in. But just a great time to plant. There's so many, just a neat time of year. I wanted to talk a little bit. I think last week we talked a little bit about trees, and I wanted to talk a little bit more. This time of year, there's a lot of things. Assuming everybody notices. I know I do, so maybe not everybody, but there's so many things that are blooming right now, and what you really notice, and some of the spring flowering stuff is getting to the tail end of really looking spectacular. Obviously, we've had some frosty nights, and we had a 4-inch snow, so it's definitely been a challenge this spring for the plants with the weather that we've been having, but the red buds actually, bloomed extremely well. There's all different varieties of flowering crab apples that are blooming right now that are just off the charts beautiful and super, super, super fragrant. I know Carly and I was walking the other night, and all the crab apples that we walked past were blooming, and they were just, everyone you walked past, it was just incredible, the fragrance they had. And there's so many different varieties of, and you know, flowering crab apples, there's a million different varieties. And then service berries are a really cool spring flowering tree that has a lot of interesting characteristics. Kind of a, they call it an all season type of a tree, because there's interesting features about the tree, you know, spring, summer, and fall, and even through the winter. There's something going on. The service berries are a native tree, usually kind of a natural multi-stemmed kind of a habit. So it'll have four or five or six stems that come up and make us I'd say a medium to small ornamental tree. And they're going to bloom a white flower. They're past flowering at this point. They're going to be blooming in April. Bloom a really beautiful white flower. The scent is not extraordinary. They have a very light fragrance, but it's not super noticeable. They will bear fruit. They do some. The service berry is a common name. June berry is a common name. The botanical name is Amelanchier. And
again, oh yeah, that's the one I knew.
I thought that's why I threw it out there, because I knew you would.
I have heard of June berries. The service berries I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, and it's just a really beautiful tree. I've got a couple planted at home, and I get a kick out of them every year. They bloom in April. They will bear fruit in June, and the fruit is edible. It starts off red, and then when it ripens, it turns kind of a purple, dark purple color, and it is edible. Kind of tastes like a raspberry. It has a few seeds in it. The fruit's about the size of your pinky fingernail, but it actually is very sweet and tasty. I had a professor's wife at Ohio State that made us service berry pies. My college wasn't that hard. It was actually pretty fun. You know,
well,
if
you are interested, if you have to come up with whatever that name was with of service berries, the
Amelanchier.
Yeah. Say that most people are out on that kind of stuff. Even when you have to come up with the with the technical names for them, that doesn't work.
Well, all of our classes are plant. We had ID classes, plant ID classes, and all of our classes were on campus at the ag campus or on main campus, and we would walk in the OSU, and I mean I'm assuming most universities, but the good ones, you know, like Ohio State, the grounds are all arboretums, and so every plant is named, and in most cases they're tagged, so you know everybody knows what they are. But they would walk us around campus and point at trees, and you had to ID the tree, shrub, perennial, whatever, and you had to come up with the botanical name, the common name, and spell all of that stuff right. So I could handle that stuff in the day. I'm not sure I could handle that today, but spelling, but I do remember a lot of the names.
Yeah, so. Most people, that would just be so far over their head. You said it's easy, but it's easy if you are planning to do that stuff. I'd say very few people that went to Ohio State, even whoever was magna cum laude, probably couldn't do that with two of the species of the trees and plants that you are whipping off the top of your head.
Oh yeah. Let's see, the locust is the honey locust. Like, there's a couple of them planted up around the Monument Park that I planted years and years and years ago. That's Gladitzia triacanthos.
Yeah, see, I don't know who the smartest person in town is with the highest IQ, but I'm going to guess they don't know that. Or if you told them, they wouldn't remember three sentences later. you said Glabomphodus
hilibet? Gladitzia.
That's what I said.
Gladitzia tricanthos.
Oh, yeah. I had it backwards.
Acer. Do you know what Acer is? Acer is a very common tree. The botanical name is Acer. See, I can spell that one right. Acer.
Yeah, that's one of my computer things. I've got a computer that's an Acer.
Okay, that's a maple.
Oh, I've got a maple computer?
Yeah.
It looks like metal.
No, it's a maple. It's maple.
I'll be darned. So anyway, we were actually talking about something, I think.
The service berries, again, the fruit's edible, has a really sweet taste to it. In the fall, there's a lot of different varieties of service berry. In the fall, Autumn Brilliance is one of the varieties that we always have. And Autumn Brilliance, the serviceberry Autumn Brilliance, is one of the prettiest trees as far as fall color goes. It's going to have the brightest, most neon orange you've ever seen in your entire life. So again, good fall color. And the tree has a very smooth gray bark that almost has kind of like striations or stripes in it. And so in the wintertime, when it's, you know, naked, when it loses all of its leaves, it still has that really beautiful, smooth gray bark. And so that's why, you know, people claim that it's a all season type of a tree, because it looks really cool all seasons. The one tree that actually catches a lot of grief, and it should, initially it should, but it shouldn't anymore. The spring flowering, I had mentioned the crab apples at the top of the show here. The flowering crab apples years ago, everybody, you know, like them for, everybody likes them for about 2 weeks because they bloom spectacular, all different shades of pink, light pink, dark pink, even kind of a shade of kind of lavender pink, white, of course, and they bloom fragrance. I mean, they're just wonderful. For 2 weeks, people claim, and then the old varieties, would get apple scab, which is a very common, foliage disease that crab apples will get, and crab apples are in the Malus family, M-A-L-U-S. That's the same family as like your apples, your eating apples. It's in the same family, your red delicious, yellow delicious, whatever. It's in the same family as the flowering crab apples. And they notoriously get apple scab, so they start defoliating June, July. The leaves will turn really bright yellow and then fall off, and then your tree usually, like by the middle to the end of August, almost looks completely defoliated. And of course, if you've ever had a flowering crab apple, everybody knows about the suckers, and the suckers grow up from the root stock, and you're constantly trimming those things off, and can be just a huge pain in the butt. And so people have, over the years, I mean, I've had people when I go out on landscape appointments say, well, don't plant any crab apples. I hate them. I hate trimming those suckers off. So they've gotten a really bad reputation. But over the years, of course, everything, well, except politics, over the years, everything gets better. And so the new varieties of flowering crab apple now are grown on their own rootstock. They're not grafted. And so since they're grown on their own rootstocks, they don't sucker, which is awesome. And the new varieties of flowering crab apple, which would be like Snowtime, Prairie Fire, Snowtime obviously blooms white. Prairie Fire blooms an incredible dark pink flower, almost red, but we'll say dark pink. And there's a lot, I can't remember all the new varieties. I'll try to look them up real quick. A lot of the new varieties are grown on their own rootstock, so they don't sucker. And then they also are very resistant, or they just simply won't get apple scab. So they hold their foliage all season. And, I mean, they are a really cool tree. Again, the flowering is spectacular. There's a bunch of new varieties, again, that will have outstanding foliage all season. And then some of the varieties will even have, you know, like a color to, not just green leaves, they'll have kind of a burgundy leaf or a red leaf all season, which makes them, again, kind of a season long, you know, interest as far as that goes. Some of the better varieties I was mentioning before was Royal Raindrop. Royal Raindrop is a really cool variety. Cardinal, Candy Mint, Prairie Fire, Sugar Thyme are some of the new, I don't say new varieties, they're improved varieties that don't get apple scab, and again, a lot of them are grown on their own rootstocks. So, again, you don't get the suckering. And some of the ones that are really cool for the fruit that they'll produce, and they do produce fruit. Again, the old varieties would produce a large fruit that was almost the size of a golf ball, and they would drop and just make a huge mess. And so, again, it was, you loved them because they bloomed, and then in the fall you hated them because you had to clean that mess up. All the new varieties have small, very hard fruit that's maybe the size of your pinky fingernail, and will hang onto the tree all winter long. And so you have a really cool winter interest when all the foliage falls off, but the fruit's hanging on, and you get snow on them or whatever, and it has a great winter interest. And then believe it or not, when the robins start to come back in February, late January, February, the robins love those trees and love that fruit. And then you'll get the robins coming in and they'll just devour all of that, the fruit. So then you don't have any mess to clean up. So some of the varieties that have an interesting, fruit on them would be the candy mint. Prairie Fire has a really dark red fruit, real small fruit. Some of them will have, like the Bob White will have a yellow fruit. Adirondack has kind of an orange red fruit. So there's a lot of really neat varieties out there, and the growth habit is really interesting because you can find them that have a very pronounced perfectly round habit. And so, I mean, they literally kind of look like a lollipop. They usually keep a very straight, rigid trunk, very perfectly round canopy. Some of them will have an upright habit, oval habit. And then there's a bunch of really cool varieties that have weeping habits, like Weeping Jade. And there's a couple more I'm forgetting right now. But again, there's a lot of weeping varieties that are absolutely outstanding. And so, again, just a lot of really, you know, cool trees out there. Again, in our, and I think we talked about that last week, in our community, with being so agriculturally based, with, you know, farming, in some cases, I think trees are looked at as like a nuisance because they kind of get in the way. You have to mow around them or farm around them, and they take nutrients from your plants and your lawn, and I think they're looked at as sometimes a nuisance that's, you know, easily eradicated with a chainsaw. And I think we need to look at more places, areas, parks, and places where we can plant trees, just because they do so much for the environment. So I think I blew right through like the first two breaks we were supposed to have.
The first one.
Okay.
We can take that now.
Okay, perfect.
Be back in just a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
The 43 Merchants Cruise Inn is coming up on Friday night, May 7th, presented by the Fort Streetcar Classics Car Club. Come check out a couple of hundred awesome cars on the brick street in downtown Fort Recovery from 6 to 9 p.m. It's one of the first events of spring, and it's always a great time. Lots of friends, lots of unique cars. Great food will be available, and Slick and Rick will be spinning the oldies all night. Don't miss the annual Spring Cruise Inn on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery on Friday, May 11th from 6 to 9.
We're back with Steve Stone on a walk through the garden, and I was mentioning, and he was giggling at me, that I had gotten some purple wave petunia seeds this winter, and I planted 25, and 18 of them sprouted and were doing pretty well, and I transplanted them into a bigger pot, and they didn't seem to care for that.
Then you took them outside.
I took them outside on some of those nice days and brought them back in. Then I took them outside and left them out.
How long were they outside? All day?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Neil, imagine you have a girl. This might not be the best.
Come up with a different one then.
Imagine you have this granddaughter and she's like brand new.
Uh-huh.
Like a week old.
Yeah.
Would you take her and set her out in the sun all day long?
If that's where she was going to live the rest of her life, yes, I would.
Okay. When you grow plants under grow lights, the grow light has a specific spectrum of light, and it should be an even spectrum, but the intensity of that spectrum is from the grow light. And so the plants come up, and the plants have an epidermis, like we have an epidermis, and it kind of protects.
See how smart I am.
It kind of protects. It protects the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take that and you take it outside, it's used to the spectrum of light and the everything that's indoors. When you take that outside and you put it in direct sun for even an hour, and say like you're kind of pale like me,
yeah.
So in the springtime,
a little too much Irish,
right? When you go outside in the spring, do you rip your shirt off in that first sunny day?
No, I don't like to frighten the children.
and walk around in the sun all day long. What happens if you would do that? You get sunburnt.
Yeah. So I should have put sun lotion on my plants.
Well, you could have put, I don't know. I don't know if copper tones recommended for plants or not.
Oh, well.
But you want to kind of ease them outside when you're growing indoors. You want to ease them outside. And when I say that, keep them in the shade, but outdoors for, a couple hours at a time. And then biggest thing is to keep them in the shade because it doesn't take very long, but they will build that epidermis up to the point where it's perfectly fine.
But they've been in the sun all 24 hours a day. Why can't they handle the sun now?
Because your grow light is not the same as the sun.
Yeah, the sun's better for them, and that's where they're going to live.
Well, you're right, but they need a little more gradual exposure to that intense sunlight compared to their grow light.
So like your puppy, you take them out a couple of times a day.
Right, exactly. You got to ease them into that.
I think I'll put them in a wagon and walk them around town.
Oh, people talk about you enough the way it is. They don't need to see you pulling flowers in a wagon around town.
I might be able to sell some.
What would be really cool is if you put like a little umbrella over top of them.
Yeah.
To protect them from that bright sunshine. But yeah, there is a lot of, there is a lot of truth to the fact that when you're starting things indoors, wind, if you, again, in a calm situation, it should be calm in your house or garage or basement or wherever your grow lights are, taking them outdoors into especially like, intense heat. And when I say intense, sunny 75 degree day is pretty intense compared to, being indoors. And again, like yesterday was really breezy. And so if you again bring them from indoors outdoors on a warm breezy day, you're definitely going to get damage. In some cases they can recover from that, but you're certainly with wind and kind of sun damage injury, if they don't croak, you're going to see marginal what they call marginal chlorosis, corrosis, which is marginal browning. You're going to get marginal browning around the leaves, and again, that's just the leaves losing all of its moisture and not being able to pull it back out of the ground fast enough. So you're going to get marginal browning around all the edges of all the leaves. You could obviously get wilting if they're struggling for moisture. And again, if you're growing from seed, you want to keep the ground moist when you're when the seeds are trying to germinate, you have to have a lot of moisture because the seed imbibes water, and that's what stimulates the germination process. Once it's germinated and the plant actually starts to grow, you can actually, I don't want to say slow down, you just have to be a little bit more particular about the way you water, because if you treat the new plants like you do the seeds, you're going to get what's called damping off, which damping off is too much moisture, too much water, and then they actually, the plants, the stems will rot, and then the plant literally just like falls over, like you cut it with a chainsaw. It just literally falls over, and then they'll all, and then they croak. So damping off can be an issue. If you're, you know, really serious about growing, you know, stuff indoors, having a fan just simply to kind of stir the air up in the room or garage or wherever, any kind of a fan that just kind of stirs the air up will eliminate disease issues and can eliminate that damping off, because you've constantly got air flowing. If you've got real still air and you're watering constantly, you're going to have disease issues without question. So
what if I get them the coronavirus shot? Will that help?
You know, I don't know that they're susceptible to coronavirus.
But
I did hear yesterday that minks are susceptible to coronavirus, which I didn't know. So
yeah, I hope David Schmidt knows that.
Well, I know he does, because it's kind of inadvertently the way that came back to me was somebody that was working for him said that they got coronavirus over in Europe, and they had lost a lot of their animals, and so
that might make his mink a little more viable.
My feeble mind put that together is, rock on for Dave.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be good for him.
Yes. Yep.
So,
Before all the PETA people get all excited, I think he said a couple of years ago that every one of his pelts goes to China, and they don't get, if somebody would happen to pour paint on the premier's mink coat, they would be crucified in Red Square.
So
people don't go throwing paint on the mink coats in China.
Maybe with some of the rioters, we need to try that in the United States.
Yeah, could. Yeah,
we're off topic.
yeah, kind of. So you've scolded me about taking my poor little plants out and leaving them, abandoning them outside.
You basically took those cute little plants and you gave them a sunburn that they just simply couldn't recover from. So next time,
then I drowned the other ones.
And then you maybe drown them. Well, if you'd come out to the nursery occasionally, we would get you whipped into shape. You just need to follow Nikki around for a day, and you will know.
I couldn't do that for a day.
You would know everything you need to know about growing. I would say in a day she'd have you whipped into shape.
By 10 a.m., I would need a nap. I couldn't keep up with her.
Yeah, we were comparing notes last night, and I'm not sure exactly. Actually, I'm really embarrassed to say it. I'm honestly embarrassed to say it. Of course, we all have our smart watches on, and Carly had like 18,000 steps yesterday. Nikki had 16,000 steps yesterday, and I had seven.
Seven steps?
7,000.
Oh.
I had 7,000 steps.
Because so, I did see you take seven steps out of your office to go out and talk to one of your customers who was looking for something specific.
They can look at my progress, and they were giving me all kinds of grief yesterday that I had less than half of what they did.
Yep.
And so obviously I do half the work that they do because I have half the steps in. So I was just speaking of being crucified, I was freaking being crucified last night for not having. So I was up all night walking around the house trying to build up my steps. So I got to keep up with them today. Otherwise, I'm gonna be grossed out again.
Well, you're an hour behind already.
I know. They've been out there. They went out at 6, so I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
You need to give me some kind of a wireless mic so I can run around up here and get steps.
Oh, yeah.
While
we could do that.
While I'm talking. So.
Yeah, we could do that.
Perfect.
Yep. So let's take another break here. We'll come back and kind of go over some stuff here. And I think this first thing is about your spring open house out there at Nature's Green. So back in just a couple minutes.
It's the annual spring open house at Nature's Green Nursery in Fort Recovery this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check out their huge selection of annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, mulch, stones, topsoil, and much more. There'll be prizes, giveaways, and refreshments. Drop off your empty pots and let Nature's Green plant them with beautiful annuals. That's Friday, April 30th from 7 to 5, Saturday, May 1st from 9 to 4, and Sunday, May 2nd from 10 to 3. This weekend's spring open house at Nature's Green Nursery, just east of Fort Recovery on State Route 119.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of great steaks on the grill. Wayne Street Market has everything you need for a great cookout. They have nicely trimmed steaks ready to go, and their ground chuck is $3.39 a pound, bulk or patties. Eckrich hot dogs are two for $3, and packages of Swaggerty brats are $3.99. And check out their fully cooked smoked pork chops. And it's time to get your catering orders in for your graduation party. From chicken to their party trays, fruit and veggie trays, sandwich trays, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. Get it all at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. Fort Recovery Museum will be open for the season starting this weekend, and there will be two great displays to kick it off. The museum will be open from noon to 5, and both displays will run from 3 to 5 on Sunday. In the downstairs meeting room, local woodworking artist Bob Hart will have a display of some of his beautiful woodworking pieces, and he'll also be there to answer questions about his designs and techniques. Also, Dr. Tim Barman will have some of his extensive collection of antique hand tools on display on the front porch of our museum, and he'll be there to explain and demonstrate these tools from the frontier era. And if you have antique tools that you would like him to look at and maybe explain how they were used, you're encouraged to take them along on Sunday. Two very interesting displays from local people at the museum this Sunday afternoon, kicking off this year's museum season. Bob Hart with some of his wooden works of art inside, and Dr. Tim Barman with his collection of antique hand tools outside on the front porch. Make plans to stop by and check out these two great displays this Sunday afternoon at our museum.
We're back here with Steve Stone, Walk Through the Garden, and we've, as you heard on that first commercial, that he has their Christmas open house. That's not Christmas open house. Spring open house.
Spring open house this weekend. Yeah, stop out. Nikki and I will be out there all day today. Carly's working. So kind of a, I think Cade's coming out. So kind of a family affair out there today. You know, we've got, again, mulches and soils and anything you need. And lots of trees, shrubs, perennials. The perennials look spectacular. All of our annuals. Again, colors, varieties are, Nikki did a really cool, really nice job of getting a lot of new and different and neat plants in that I haven't even seen. So she's a little bit more on top of those annual things, varieties, than what I am. So again, spring's just a good time to plant. I never really got to lawns this show. You know, again, lawns, I know at this point we're, you know, we're well past getting the pre-emergent put down on your lawn for crabgrass control, foxtail. So if you're doing any applications in regards to that, you need to be switching or looking at doing a post-emerge control, which there's products out there. It's not as quick and easy and inexpensive as what the pre-emergent products are, but you can get those control herbicides put down to manage those issues. And then again, it is a fine time to go ahead and we talked about this last week, get your broadleaf weed control on. Dandelions are blooming like crazy, already starting to go to seed. And a lot
mine are really pretty.
Starting to go to seed.
And our president gave one to his lovely wife, Jill.
Yep, I saw that.
But it wasn't actually the dandelion, it was the seeds.
Yep.
Which, that just seemed odd.
Well,
maybe they're the kind of lovey couple that likes to pick those and then blow them in each other's face. And
We don't have enough time to get me started down that path. So again, great time of year to plant, whether again you're doing perennials or you're, you know, woody shrubs, you know, boxwoods or hollies or and spireas. There's a lot of really cool things out there. And again, like we talked about with the flowering crab apple, how things get better over the years, the new varieties of evergreens and plants and, you know, flowering shrubs and stuff are, there's just so many better varieties now than there were years ago. So from a, you know, pruning and trimming standpoint, there's going to be a lot less maintenance involved. You know, years and years ago, back in the 60s and 70s, you know, you were relegated to, you know, taxus and junipers and arborvitas and a couple different varieties of spireas, all of which grew, you know, rapidly and grew like weeds, and you might have to prune or trim, you know, two or three times a year to keep them under control. The new varieties of again, there's still junipers and arborvitas and taxus out there. There's a lot of new varieties of spireas that stay really compact and nice and round, bloom just absolutely spectacular. Foliage colors, even on the, when they're not blooming, the foliage color is really unique for different varieties. So there's just a lot of really cool plants out there. And again, growth rate, growth habit is manageable in that you should really, if you time your pruning out just right, you really should be able to get by with new varieties of plants and do kind of knowing what you're doing. Maybe just pruning about once a season is going to be about all you have to do. You're always going to have to prune. I have people that say, well, I don't want to ever have to prune. It's like, well, it's like saying you never want to have to mow your yard. Well, there's synthetic turf out there, but yeah. That you never have to mow. But as far as pruning and trimming, there's always going to be a little bit of pruning and trimming to keep the plants. And you want to do that regularly, because if you do that regularly and manage their growth and kind of keep them in check and in shape, I mean, a good landscape and a good design should last you 20 or 25 years, maybe even longer, depending on, you know, how you take care of them. But again, you know, there's just so many neat, new, different varieties out there. And that's why we would want you to come out and shop around and see what we got. So I got to get to work before I get in trouble. So
yeah, because you're already probably 2,000 or 3,000 steps behind.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. There's no question I'm behind at least 2,000 steps. It's going to be hard to catch up.
Yeah.
I might have to run to work from here.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you'd really be late.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, please call, email, text if you've got questions. I'd love to answer them on air. And if you've got topics, I would really love to tear into those topics.
Yes, suggestions.
Suggestions.
Doesn't have to really be a question. So
yep.
We'll let Steve get to work.
All right.
They got their spring open house going on out there. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.